What was Hogan, Andre?
That was like 33
or 30.5, I think.
33 million,
I think.
That's crazy.
That is nuts.
Have they ever come close to a number like that again?
No. No. In the Attitude Era, which I've always believed that those numbers in the Attitude Era were garbage. I think the highest rated show, like in that
it's probably
whole,
like six. Huh?
It was like 8 million people watched, and it was like a segment of a show, like a last 15 minutes, 25 minutes of.
Because they always hovered around like 4.4, 4.3. Yeah, I remember those were always the numbers.
Yeah,
35.
Well, so it was. It was 30. I think it was 33 million on NBC on like a. I think it was a Friday night at 8.
Jeez.
At 8 o'clock.
Goodness gracious.
And it didn't even air live. It was tape delayed.
Yeah, nothing came close to that.
In Indianapolis, it was at the Market Square Arena.
Now, the good thing about that, though, is it was tape delayed, but how are you going to find out if you're in Sacramento, California?
No, true.
Like, I don't know what happened. I'm watching at 11:30. I have no idea what happened.
Well, you don't have to watch it at 11:30. You can watch it 8 because it aired in prime time.
It was 8 for us?
Yeah, it was 8 o'clock. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's why. So the main event aired in prime time. Saturday night's main event aired at 11:30.
Gotcha.
Saturday night's main event used to get like 11, 12, 13 million people watching.
I was
like,
wonderful.
Like the WWE, WWF in the 80s was so much bigger than the WWE in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, airing on NBC, pulling those types of numbers is crazy.
I've got it.
Of course, they'll tell you it's bigger now because a million people watched a YouTube clip.
I got it pulled up right now, like all the registered main event. Like, they were pulling in down there like 10 million every episode.
Yeah, they had one, like one of the best ones, and it's like the network ruined it. But I think it was this, it was post WrestleMania 5. It was Hogan versus Savage, and the special guest referee was supposed to be Mike Tyson. A week prior, Mike Tyson gets knocked out in Tokyo by Buster Douglas. Vince McMahon gets Buster Douglas to show up to that Saturday night, to that main event, and be the special referee.
Wow.
You can't hear it, which is so frightening. Maybe if you search YouTube or Reddit or something, you could find it. But I'm sure they had to like dub over the music.
Uh-huh.
So you can't hear it. But when Buster Douglas walks out, watch the crowd. The crowd is going nuts. Wow. Like the physical reaction from the crowd to Buster Douglas in 91 is crazy.
Why did they have to dub over it?
I assume they don't own the rights to the music.
Oh, wow.
To whatever music Buster Douglas came out to that day, I assume they don't own the rights to it. Mm. So they had to dub over it with some generic, and you hear Howard Finkel say, and the new champion, you know, James Buster Douglas or whatever, and you see this reaction from the crowd that you absolutely cannot hear.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, they did a little over, like, 22 million, I'm assuming.
22 million for
at
show.
Least.
Crazy.
This website has 26.6 for Hogan versus Andre, but that was 33, so you could probably bump that up more.
Yeah.
It was February
23rd, 1990. Yeah, I pulled it up. He's already out. Maybe they have another one. There goes Sherry and Macho, man. King Macho.
King Macho, yeah.
There goes Buster Douglas in the back.
King Macho and Queen Sherry.
Hogan versus Andre was the highest on WWE main event. Then it was Hogan versus Savage, and then Hogan and Savage versus Twin Towers, it says.
Yeah, that's where the Mega Powers exploded.
Yeah. February 3rd, 1989.
Man, it was so special when that would, Saturday Night's main event. Just that era, that was special. Special times.
Yeah, I used to love Saturday Night's main event until I fell asleep during, like, Empty Nest or the Golden Girls or whatever was on before, and then I'd wake up and I'd see Tito Santana in the ring, knowing like Hulk Hogan always aired. It was like they did it like Saturday Night Live, all of the good skits are at the front because you're fighting sleep.
Yeah.
So Hulk Hogan used to be in the first or second segment because you're trying to get the biggest content in before midnight. I knew if I saw Tito Santana, it was 12:15. It's like, oh, I wake up and like it's the Killer Bees, and it's like, oh, god damn it. I missed Hulk Hogan Tito versus Santana. Nikolai Volkoff or whatever it was. I woke up to some racist Roddy Piper promo. Oh,
Piper and blackface.
Shout out to everybody going to Raw tonight.
Well, have fun.
Let us know how it
have
is.
Have fun.
Yeah, just
we'll be here.
This is just great. This is great. We'll be here.
No, literally. All right, man. I'm so tired of the lack of respect we get.
I'm going to start moving some furniture.
Well, now I'm worried. You tried moving furniture a week ago, and it got us nowhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually, like, I was like, cool, now we're going to get tickets and stuff.
Yeah, Casey's furniture. Well, no, look. Casey's furniture moving has amounted to nothing.
All right, well,
Complex just picked the chair back up and put it where it was.
Well, no, I thought about this. I'm like, well, at least they didn't blame me for this.
Oh.
No.
At least they didn't blame me for this one. I'm moving some furniture, though.
Okay.
I'm moving. Well, it's going to be too late. We ain't going to make it to Raw.
Yeah, unless somebody's going to come hand us some tickets in 2 hours and tell us, hey, don't worry about your second radio show.
It's not happening. Take the deal on KC Jeep up to Golden 1 Center tonight?
Given I haven't seen Complex in a week, that's not happening.
Complex was here on Friday. I said, go home.
What was he doing here?
He was here like the whole time. Like, and he was working, doing stuff.
KC, to make it clear, I'm still leaving. You could stay here all damn day. I'm leaving.
He was looking under the
Friday
weather, too.
Friday was empty, too.
It was.
Not the usual kind.
We guessed it was less than five people.
Yeah, at least.
Oh, I bet.
Including me, Jesse, Seth, and John. No, we didn't include Seth and John.
But I think Charlie got out of here that day.
Yeah.
Wow. Charlie's skipping out on work. You know it's a...
Or no, Charlie didn't. He was one of the three, but I think it was literally just us three.
Well, shout out to Chauncey Billups. He gets to go to work for a couple of more years.
Big ups to him, man.
We were wondering if he would make it, and he in fact did. Chauncey Billups signed a contract extension with the Portland Trail Blazers and will be with them. I guess the team had an option in place for next year. Mm-hmm. They picked up the option and added a couple of more years to that deal. So as it stands, I think right now Chauncey Billups is the Portland Trail Blazers coach for at least the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's good for Chauncey, man. He's done a really good job with this team this past season. And I know there was some concern. I think when we talked to Trista, she thought he'd be out. And I was like, that doesn't seem right, man. Like, it seems like he's done a good job with those young guys. Give him a little bit
this
more
time. This is a young team developing. Like, I wouldn't blame – I wouldn't put the record of this basketball team on Chauncey Billups.
No, and I think I saw Bobby Marks or somebody said they had a 14-game improvement from last year. So I was thinking, hey, man, give this guy an opportunity to kind of see this thing through a little bit. And it seems like they are, man. So I'm glad to hear that for Chauncey. He deserves it.
That's probably those types of things are probably, and this is where the the Monty McNair thing comes into play. Those things are, giving guys an opportunity to learn on the job and develop is probably more valuable than any of us give it credit for. We're instant. Like the Suns just hire coaches to fire them at this point. Now, to be clear, I did think Mike Budenholzer was part of the problem in Phoenix. Mike Budenholzer was not the only problem in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And they made the decision last year that their biggest issue was their head coach. They didn't make a lot of other changes after that.
Right.
They went and, kind of went to the Dollar Tree to try to fill out the roster. But in the end, it didn't get you anywhere. So there's probably something to be said for a team like Portland, giving a guy an opportunity to, hey, you took over a team that is drastically different than it is today.
Yeah.
That needs to be factored in when evaluating Del Christie, whether it's Monty McNair that evaluates Del Christie or it's another general manager that evaluates Del Christie. It needs to, part of what needs to be evaluated is the fact this guy took over a basketball team that was five games under .500. Seemed to have zero interest in playing for their old coach And then even after that, managed to change even more with the trade of De'Aaron Fox. You know, Kevin Herter getting shipped out, all of these different changes that helped you acquire Jonas Valanciunas, Jake LaRavia, and all of that. There's a lot of different things at play.
Yeah, and it seems like Portland, like you mentioned, took those things into account and gave Chauncey an opportunity. Phoenix, I don't know what Phoenix said. Well, obviously they get a new coach, but do you go for an established guy? Do you get a young guy in there and see if that works? Because you've had three established guys and it hasn't worked. But I don't know. You need to
pick a. I think your problem is your owner. Your owner is so desperate to like make a splash and he has failed like so miserably. I don't know how he's covered in Phoenix, but from a basketball standpoint, he is a miserable failure. He just keeps finding different people to blame. You have to decide what you're going to do here. Like, what direction are you, if you're trading Kevin Durant, and all signs are pointing to trading Kevin Durant, what direction are you going with that? Are you trying to build something sustainable? Are you trying to, you know, go the Kings route and get a player for player, a star for a star, and just attempt to compete with that next year? And essentially, you'd be blaming Kevin Durant in that scenario, which is insane. You have to pick a direction that lays out your franchise for the next next 3 to 5 years. And if you can't do that, it's just going to lather, rinse, repeat. Which is, they've done the same exact thing since Ishbia is taking over. We're going to go this, we're going to make a splash. KD, great. We're going to make another splash with Bradley Beal. Okay. We're going to fire this coach. We're going to fire that coach. Now we're going to fire this coach. I mean, talk about the Kings. Who wants that job? Because at what point, because I don't know when everything in Sacramento, it felt like it happened pretty quickly. I don't know when everything in Sacramento became Vivek Ranadive's fault. Mm-hmm. It feels like it was pretty early, maybe around Michael Malone. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a good Denver Post story out about Michael Malone, by the way.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
Oh, I got you. I got, okay. Actually, there's two really good Denver Post reports out. But how are they covering this guy? How are they covering the way he's running this team?
I got some questions. I got some questions. We'll talk about them when we come back.
D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. D'Lo's here. I thought he might have gotten the brown pickup truck.
No.
Although he had to park 4 miles away today, bro. So
yeah,
who knows?
I almost didn't have a parking spot.
Yeah, what the hell is going on in this building?
I think the new our neighbors,
this ain't gonna work then.
Yeah, I don't like them already.
This ain't gonna work.
Well, you know, they tried to make friends with us as we walked in.
No, ain't nobody wanna talk about the Kings. The hell is going on here? Like 400 cars outside.
Yeah, it's this classic office situation. We want our parking spots back. Okay.
Now, we'll talk I wonder, the
four brothers or the four fathers or whatever they call them.
I wonder. If it might have been a first day thing. Like, oh, everybody come
like
into
first day
the office.
Class.
Yeah, like, this is great. And then moving forward, it won't be the same. If that's not how it is, if this is what it's going to be every day, well, I need them to put a little...
cone.
Yeah, cones, yep. Little placards.
Yep.
Kenny Caraway spot.
Yep.
Damian Barling spot.
And
Jesse
I park
Tapia
far
spot.
Away. Like, I don't park, yeah. Park close. It's not like I'm trying to park in the first...
Yeah.
You know, spot. I stay back.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's
like,
first row.
Yeah. Leave me alone. Like,
I had to actually try parking today. Usually I just move into the spot. No one ever parks by me. I had to try
it. That is trash.
I was not expecting that. Once again, like it always happens. And I checked this morning, but as I get here and I see all these cars, I double check the calendar. Like, hey.
No, legit.
What's
I was
going on?
Literally
going
to say that right now. There's always like initial shock or like little scares. Like, oh my gosh, do we have a meeting today?
Even if we had a meeting, there wouldn't be that many people here for us.
This was sold out crowd.
It was like the Golden One Center.
It wasn't Sutter Health Park.
No, it's a yeah.
I said on Friday, Dame.
Yeah.
I said, if they can't get 12,000, now there's a lot of factors in, just like people always like to talk about with Oakland. Like, well, got to tell why, got to tell all the factors. There's factors going on here as well. But I thought they'd still get about 12,000 over the weekend with the Mets in town.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They got 10,000 like every game, but I thought 12. Just like I thought every game would be sold out, and that isn't true. So, yeah.
So what do we make of that? Is it a big deal? Is it problematic? Like,
I think it's an A's issue.
I think it's an A's baseball issue as well. I mean, baseball attendance is down a little bit as well. The A's, I think I underestimated.
Would it be different? Sorry, I don't know why I interrupted you.
You're fine.
If would it be different if it was the Sacramento A's and this is their first season here and they're going to be here forever?
I do think so. I do think so. And I underestimated that. I was like, it's whatever. Bring Major League Baseball here. They'll do 14,000, 15,000 every time. I think there is something to this isn't even our team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, get behind it. Another thing about it too is specifically for Friday and Sunday. I don't know if they can. That the Kings are going to do 17,000 every time.
Yeah,
they're going to do 16,000-17,000 every single time.
Okay, so another thought: do we see attendance, especially for beautiful weekends like we just had? Go up once King season is over.
I think they will.
You probably had the opportunity to buy a cheap ticket, cheaper than normal ticket, to maybe that Friday game, probably certainly that Sunday game. And maybe, hey, we have a chance to, you know, step out, go to an event. Oh, yeah. Why not? Let's go to the Kings game. I mean, we could go to the A's game in May.
Yeah.
June.
81 of those things. So that I think that plays a factor as well.
Only thing I'm interested in seeing is how they do in July and August.
Yeah.
The day we signed DeMar DeRozan, I think the temperature just said hell. Like, I remember walking into the Golden One Center just ungodly hot for that California Classic.
Yeah.
And you imagine? There's a baseball game.
Oh, I said it before. Now they have. Last year was crazy, right? Like, last year was a little, you know, out of the norm. It obviously gets hot in Sacramento, but last year wasn't it like 20 days of 100 plus?
It was so
like
bad. It was. Yeah, last year was bad.
It was an anomaly.
Yeah,
but I remember I went to a RiverCats game. Was it last year or the year before? And it was. It was like 107 during the day.
Yeah.
It was a 7 o'clock start. Where I was sitting was covered in shade.
Mm-hmm.
At 7:05, and it was hot. I was like, yo, it's hot out here. This is crazy. You're going to have those nights. You're going to have those nights at that stadium. And it just is what it is. But I got to say, I was wrong. I thought it'd be 14,000 every single night. And then this past weekend on Friday, I talked about it. I said, if we don't see 12,000 for all three games, I'll just, man, I was dead wrong about that.
Yeah.
We didn't. So.
Yeah, I definitely thought the Mets would be one that had a huge. I purposely didn't ask for tickets to this weekend because I thought, yeah, this is going to be one of those. It's going to be one of those crazy ones.
Yeah.
Which
is always
it's
always a weird dynamic too, because when you talk about the seats and what it looks like, there are clearly people who just bought season tickets to sell them, right? And that's part of those seats that are empty. Like, they got no intention on going to the games. They're trying to sell them for X amount of dollars, and they're not able to, and those seats just end up being empty. So the tickets are sold, but you look at a game and there's no people in the seats. It's if anything, it's a bad look because there's nobody there, but the tickets are sold. So, but nobody cares about
it. Well, the money, the money's still accounted for.
Right.
like in the end, like you can call it a sellout because that's the ticket sold.
Right.
You know, it's just not the number of people in attendance.
And I think we talked about this the other day. It's 12,000 seats or 10,000 seats?
I think it's 10,000 seats plus the lawn. Is that right?
The lawn is what gets it up. I thought it might have been like 250 lawn capacity.
You mean 2,500?
Or, yeah, excuse me, 2,500.
Okay, I think that's right.
Capacity. So that would,
that's right.
That would mean there's 1,200 seats because we always thought 14,000 was a sellout.
How many seats?
10,624 permanent fixed seats.
Huh. Okay.
So you're right. Yeah. That's what you said, right? 12,000
is the sellout. No, I said 12,000 permanent seats and 2,500 would get you to 14. Because remember, we always thought it'd be 14. So I thought that the lawn.
Okay, so Sutter Health Park has a seating capacity. Well, that's AI. Sutter Health Park, which seats about 14,000. So that would be 4,000 lawn seats. God, that seems like
that's
a lot.
That's what I thought. I thought it was
that two, seems like a lot.
2,000 or 2,500 lawn seats. The lawn actually,
people
I'm not
seem
saying
to love the lawn.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's like standing room only, but the lawn is actually, it's got, it looks like a good amount of people there for those games, but it's whatever. Kyle is correct.
They's actually won games.
Well, won a game, I thought. Did they win one or two? Yeah, they won one.
I thought they won two.
No,
they only won one. Yeah, they only won. Well, at least they won.
Yeah, one of the
I was
games.
Beginning to wonder.
I think on Saturday it was like nothing to nothing in the fourth.
Wow.
I said wow.
Well, if you know,
wait
you know.
A minute.
Holy cow.
Kyle is right though.
Mm.
The A's don't have Jung-Hoo Lee. Oh, that's my boy.
You didn't even know that man's name 2 weeks ago.
Boy. My boy Jung-Hoo Lee. Yo, hey, Giants are back. Giants are back. We are back. We are so back. We got rid of that dweeb. We got rid of that statistician, that Excel spreadsheet guy, and got back to baseball with Buster Posey. And look at us doing work. Look at us doing work. 11-4, only in second place because the damn Padres, my gosh, boys is cooking.
We do like to hear both sides of the story. Farhan, just asking, would you like to share? What
well,
do you think's going on?
Well, I know.
I gotta be fair, man.
Well, look, I mean, the Giants, they are playing good. Jung-Hoo Lee, who is a signee by me, I would say, let's not forget, I signed him. I liked his Vazorp. You know, I liked his Vazorp, and the McGurk was one of those things that I thought would translate very well at Oracle Park. Now, as you can see at Yankee Stadium, it does really good. And even though they did have the most runs in two of those games, they technically didn't win because the Jagurg was not in their favor. So by that metric, they lost 2 out of 3.
Thank you, Farhan. Go kick rocks now.
The Giants' second best record in Major League Baseball, not just the second best record in their own division.
I don't know where it stands now, but I think after Friday's win against the Yankees, it was their best start since 2003.
I saw that.
They were 10-3.
Which is wild because they won like 200 games a couple years ago.
They did.
What? Right? So they didn't get off to a 10-3 start then? That's crazy.
That was the same year they had their worst loss of the season.
I looked at that. Was that the same year?
That's hilarious.
I remember looking at that. I saw it pop up, the graphic pop up somewhere. And I kept thinking, I think it was the Giants. I was like, that can't be right.
Yeah.
This is a better start than a couple of years ago. But
best start since 2003. I got to think this 11-4 start now has to be up there as well.
Sure.
And they're on fire. But like I
Go
said.
For your Giants.
Not in first place because I think the Padres are 12-3 or something.
Well, the Padres have already been to Sacramento. So
yeah, this is true. Tatis hit one. I asked the question on the handoff. Is anybody going to hit it onto the street?
Mm.
I don't think so.
Do we have a measurement for that? Do we know?
Joe said he was going to look at it. I'll ask him tomorrow. But if that Tatis one, which I think was like it might have been 468 maybe.
Oh, my God.
If that one didn't get to the street, yeah. I don't know if anyone will because that was a
I don't think Aaron Judge can do it.
Aaron Judge, maybe, yeah.
If it's not October, maybe.
Vlad Guerrero. Well, in this, well, first of all, come on, bro.
What?
What is this guy doing?
Oh, he's talking about the B guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last guy, yeah.
It's tough.
Dude was just removing bees with his hands?
Well, will they sting?
Doesn't he look like the type of guy who would just remove bees with his hands?
He looks like he knows about bees, though. He knows what he's doing.
Like he's not grabbing, he's caressing them.
Well, that maybe he's like got the queen trapped. He's like, they won't sting me because they know I got the queen.
He's like singing, if this world were mine.
Yeah, he's locked in.
He's serenading them.
Yeah, he looks like a bee guy, though. Overalls, big old beard.
Definitely looks like a bee guy.
So, real quick, somebody might hit it onto the street because Tatis, I say only, but dead left. It went 406.
Okay.
Judge could go 440.
On a crisp July night.
We said we didn't have a measurement to the street. You said Joe was looking that up?
Okay. Yeah. Well, that would be the opposite. It is not going to be a crisp night, which means the ball will take off. Like, there's going to be no dense air in June.
What if it's 108 and the turf is melting?
It's gonna go to Cal Sturzman.
Lawrence Butler looking like Indiana Jones trying to get a quicksand.
Let me see.
They seem
something.
To be stuck in the outfield.
bear with me for 1 second because I wanna figure this out. Talk amongst yourselves, as D-Lo would say.
Okay.
Hold on.
We can't talk amongst ourselves if you're going. Hold on 1 second.
Aaron Judge last season, I think this was Saturday, he hit a bomb.
Okay, John Bull says Google Maps says it's 600 feet.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, he hit a bomb. Last year,
okay,
at Oracle Park, Judge hit one into left center, 464. No, that's going to the street. That's going to the street, bro. I don't care what John Bull talking about.
Yeah,
that's going
might not to the get street. To the street with that attitude, but with what we're working with, it might.
Kenny's going to will a ball to the street.
Yeah.
Judge hit one 464 in the left center at Sutter Health Park. That's going to the street.
We can make it work. Maybe it bounces through the gate over something else to the street.
Oh man, it don't have to land. Like it doesn't have to hit the street.
It's just got to hit pavement. That's
it. Got to get to the street. He getting to the street.
So bounce and roll.
Yeah.
Matt Fisher says a self-reported 600 feet.
John Bull, two laughing emojis. Those 140 extra feet are just getting off vibes. You damn right, John Bull. You damn right.
It's a big vibe show here, John Bull. That's how we're doing.
I think we've lasted 4 years here.
Yeah, I remember that home run. I said because that was the because you know I think it was his first game back in San Francisco after just leading Farhan's stupid ass on.
Oh well,
and they're like, oh yeah, we didn't need da 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 da, and he just hit. I think he hit one on Friday too. That
isn't
was just
Farhan back with the Dodgers?
Yeah, and they're losing. What a
coinkydink! Well, I think they lost one more game than you.
They're losing.
Oh, okay.
What a co-winky dink.
All right. We were talking before the break about Budenholzer being out and coaching changes, obviously tying that into Doug Christie, what's going on here, what might be ahead for the Sacramento Kings. Of course, first order of business is the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday. Did you have something else on Phoenix?
Yeah, I would just – I agree that Ishbia is just not – we're going by the facts. It's just a fail. It's just an absolute fail right now. What's he supposed to do in this situation? Not like he doesn't need to be better moving forward, but right now, the season ended the way it ended. Should he have kept Budenholzer?
No, I'm fine. I believe Mike Budenholzer was a part of the problem. I think Bud my issue with Ishbia is Bud was the wrong coach for this group. Like, I think you got guys that know basketball and then guys that know people. You need to find the perfect combination of both.
Right.
I think I actually do think Doug is a really great combination of those two things. Knowing basketball and maybe knowing people isn't the right way of playing, but maybe understanding people is a better way of phrasing it. I think there are guys, and I think Mike Budenholzer is one of them, and honestly, I think Mike Malone is one of them too. Michael Malone is one of them, where he knows basketball. He has lived and breathed basketball his entire life, and it has eliminated his ability to communicate like a normal human being. And like I told you, I saw this Denver Post article. Two really interesting notes in it. One's a note. One was the story. And it's that things didn't go well when Michael was let go. Mm. It's not like Michael was like, oh, man, wow, I'm stunned. Well, thank you for the opportunity. No, that wasn't it. Imagine what you think Michael Malone getting fired was like. It was that.
Scorched earth.
Apparently, from all accounts, that's what it was. And, like, yeah, I don't think Michael, like, he's so entrenched in basketball and winning and like, he is, you know, his dad is a coach. His identity, to a certain degree, is wrapped up in being a head coach.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when that's the case, you lose the ability to communicate like a normal human being. Now, sometimes if you win at a certain level, that works. Uh-huh. Like, I've always felt Bill Belichick is one of those guys. He's so wrapped up in winning and being a coach and coaching football and teaching that his communication skills aren't the best. Some would make an argument that Bill Parcells, I don't think this is a coincidence. Bill Parcells is the same way. But when you're great and you win at that level, like the stunts Greg Popovich pulled, past tense, with sidelined reporters, it doesn't fly if you're Willie Green. Doesn't work.
Right.
The stuff Bill Belichick does at press conferences, it doesn't work if you're Art Shell. It doesn't work if you're what's that guy? Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
It doesn't work if you're, forgive me, a loser. He got away with it, whether fair or not, because he won. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Michael Malone won at the level to where he could get away with some of the things that he has. Mm-hmm. A championship buys you. If you're a power meter on a video game and your power's dropping, that championship, it boosts your power back to 100%.
It's like a checkpoint.
Yeah, but it can drop.
Yeah.
And I think we saw the same exact scenario with Mike Budenholzer. Mike Budenholzer, every single year, Bud's out. Bud's getting fired. The next year, okay, he didn't get fired this time. Well, Bud's getting fired. Well, this year, if Bud doesn't win a championship, he's getting fired. Well, then he won a championship. Well, now he's definitely not getting fired until the next year.
Right.
Now, if Bud doesn't do it again, he's getting fired. And they finally were like, okay, now this is it. This is the time. Bud is out. Finding the combination of those two skill sets is important. Because if you're going to lean heavy on one of them, you better be great.
Yeah.
Dungy, I think, leaned really heavy on being a people, not, I hate saying a player's coach, but like right. Essentially, yeah, like a people. He leaned really heavy on that, and right. it was successful for him. I guess to a certain degree, I don't know, was that Phil? With the Phil, books and the Zen and...
He was, but it also got to a point where he won to a level.
Mm-hmm.
That he could, when he needed to be a certain way, he could
right,
be.
Right.
Because you're talking about the greatest coach of all time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
But if you're Matt Ishbia now, I don't know what direction you go. Because I don't know what you're doing with this team.
Yeah. I think if you're Matt Ishbia, I know a lot of people, and we talk about this all the time, a lot of people are like, hey, just tank, blow it all up and be bad. Like, nobody really wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's really like, hey, like, this is what you should do, especially when it's not necessarily proven, that's how you become a winner. If it was a 100% or 90% or 80% success rate, I think people would be like Ishbia would be a lot more inclined to say, hey, let's just do it because it's going to guarantee us to be good. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee. So who wants to go through that when you can kind of mix and match? And if you're willing to spend a certain amount of money, try and piece some things together so you can be good again. I don't think Booker's going anywhere. KD, they'll move on from him. I think they'll do the stretch provision or whatever with Bradley Beal. And they'll try and piece together some stuff around that.
What's the stretch provision? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, I think they do have an option. It's like a buyout.
Oh, and they...
A buyout and stretch, I think. I think that's what it's called. You relax. Relax. I'm good. I'm good. Hey, I'm good.
Hey, a buyout and stretch means something entirely different in Vegas. That's a flag. Not on this show, brother.
I'm good. I'm talking basketball. I'm talking contract. I'm talking the CBA.
I didn't even think the stretch provision was still a thing, but now that you brought it up.
I didn't think it was either, but it's like a historic number that they would have to pay for the Bradley Beal.
It's $50 million for two more years each. Or one.
Two,
it can't be one.
I think it's two. It's two. So they talk about that being an option for Bradley Beal. And then maybe you try to get some.
53 and 57. Lord. Bradley Beal picked up his option 2 years from now today.
But you try to. Get some picks where you can. They don't have their pick this year. I don't know if it's a swap or they just outright don't have it. But you try to work that way.
Here's the funny thing about Brad. You talk about HBO. Bro, you did this. Mm. You did this.
Yeah.
It's not like you inherited this and right. You got to figure out what these jackasses did before I got here.
Right.
Now that's you, dog. You got to figure this out.
For Bradley Beal, who did they give up? What and who did they give up?
Oh, man. I don't remember that.
I don't remember. I don't think it was a player that of consequence. It might have been part of the Ayton deal, which would have helped him.
Three-team deal.
The Suns got Bradley Beal, Jordan Goodwin, Isaiah Todd. Wizards got Chris Paul, Landry Shamet.
You
the number seven
Chris
pick
Paul.
Via the Pacers, which is Bilal Kulibali.
Chris Paul's the whole answer. That's the money. That's Paul. How the money worked. Yeah.
And Wizards got a bunch of picks in this deal because it's a three-team with the Pacers.
Hey, shout out to Chris Paul. Played his 82nd game yesterday.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Second time in his career that Chris Paul's played 82 games. 19 season in.
It feels pretty notable given his age right
Absolutely.
Now.
That's a big deal.
Absolutely.
And given the team, like, this isn't a playoff team.
Yeah.
Like, this is... And that's what he said yesterday. He was like, well, what else am I going to do? Like, I got a long off season ahead.
I got a question for you when we return.
Why don't you just take over the show?
Yeah, you've been taking. We got 30 seconds left. What are you doing?
Like, what? Why don't you just be in charge?
The guy gets to run the show and talk about bridges on Friday all he wants, and now he's just driving today.
Man.
I got a question for you and everyone else.
When we return here.
On the other side.
James going to be with us coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Man, James Ham.
Well, can I say this real quick?
Yeah, we are, in fact, on the other side.
Before we get to that, no Beam Money today. Beam Money is still alive, though. We've got more games to play. Mm. Wednesday is when Beam Money will be back, but I'm still going to be making lineups on Prize Pick. Mm. I'm still going to be having that. My boy... Hey, shout out to my boy Helio Ramos, too. Mm-hmm. That's my boy over there as well. They're all in Philadelphia. Giants, Phillies, this afternoon, four-game mm-hmm. set. So I'm going to have some Giants in there. I'm going to have some baseball going on. Who knows? You know, we got NBA playing games tomorrow, too. So I'll have some games tomorrow as well. But you need to make sure you go to Prize Picks. You download the app. You put in the promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly, no matter if you win or you lose. Just put that promo code in and you'll be good. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. PrizePicks, run your game. This guy's on fire. Zabo is on fire.
You missed it on Friday. Then we had some controversy with this.
Oh, yeah.
As far as like what kind of font, how many exclamation marks. One guy did two fire emojis.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, they all know what to do now. Okay. And Zabo's on fire. He can't lose.
Yeah, he can't lose because this isn't a game. He literally did something out of the kindness of his heart to add to your little run your game gimmick. And then you just awarded it to someone else.
This 2.0 was trying to carve his little part into the show and all that. Have his little thing. Kenny just stomped all over it.
Hey, I challenged him to be better. And he has been. He's up. He's got a 4-point lead RYGL.
Just remind you, the guy went to work for 10 freaking minutes. He hasn't missed a show in like 4 years.
This would be like someone else
went to work for 10 minutes.
Putting out a Pocket Watchers segment on Twitter and using theirs instead of Zabo's.
Man.
Yeah, Zay's killing it right now. He's got six wins right now. The next closest is Kyle with two. Johnny's got one, and Maxwell has one.
Who the hell is Maxwell? All right.
It's like JF in the chat.
It's like Gilbert winning the Royal Rumble. Like, what?
Maxwell has one.
Maxwell, that's your real name, and if you're real, go ahead and send a message in the chatty house.
Maxwell.
Right. Hey, Sam, who the hell is
Ain't Max? Nobody been named Maxwell in 30 years.
I know, miss. Poor Maxwell.
Oh, shout out Maxwell, wherever you are. Zabel says Maxwell was a G Leaguer winning the title.
Got Mac McClung in the league.
Got Buster Douglas over here.
Poor guy's probably minding his business, enjoying the show right now.
Yeah, just having a good old time. I love D'Lo and KC. Oh, boy, what a great show. Oh, man. Hey, speaking of G-League, though, shout out to our guys, man, going for that chip tonight, man.
Yeah.
Stockton Kings going for that G-League championship tonight in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was kind of messed up. They went from Orlando to Stockton. Now they got to go back to Orlando. It'll be on today at 5 p.m.
Yeah, man. And shout out to everybody going to Raw tonight at the Golden One Center. Yep, and tell us all about it. Can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, Pauler.
Yeah, looks like Roman will be there. Punk will be there. Seth will be there.
Ooh.
Doesn't look like Cena or Cody or I guess The Rock isn't even a part of this anymore. Yeah, I'm sure he'll show his ass up next weekend. Jeez. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're the host.
I have never been more disinterested in a WrestleMania than I am right now.
Oh, brother, I am so tapped out on night one.
Like,
it's not.
I looked at I got something popped up on Instagram, like, oh, WWE released the night one and night two cards. And it's like, all right. And I'm looking like, one, we called it Gunther. And if that's the match order, Gunther and Jay appears to be leading off WrestleMania. And I was just like, okay. I don't care. You can do the fake parking lot brawl with Charlotte and Tiffany. Like, I don't care. No. Like, I am not invested in this. How are we just now picking up that WrestleMania Sunday is on effing Easter?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to miss.
How are you going to sell that to Grandma and Grandpa? Like, hey, Granny, we got to watch Cody and John Cena. What are they doing?
Well, look, we have this discussion all the time. At some point, just like James Harden, you guys got to tell me I'm right.
Well, no, no.
They got the wrong guy leading the company.
That does not have to do one or the other. Yeah, no, stop. This is not one or the other.
How?
We've
got Cena. We've got the main eventer.
There's nothing wrong with Cody.
Night 2 is cool. Night 1 sucks.
Night 2 is not cool.
Neither one of them are cool. They missed. The Cena heel turn isn't good enough. You completely wrote The Rock out of the script.
That's why it's not good enough.
His ass should have never been involved in this. I just want Cody to beat Travis Scott's ass. And they missed the money match. The money match was Cody as a heel and Roman as a babyface. They missed it. They didn't want to turn Cody. Fine. You had an opportunity with Roman as the babyface to do that match with a completely different angle, and you chose not to do it. John Cena as a heel isn't the right move.
Look, everything you're saying, I understand, but at some point...
No, everything I'm saying is correct.
This guy keeps being the common denominator.
You can't run
Cody versus Roman back. How much do we need? How much do we need for him to be a playing team?
We're getting him out of the paint here.
Who?
Cody. What are you talking about?
You think you're getting him out of the paint?
Well, he needs to lose, yeah.
I don't think he's losing.
If he doesn't lose, then
I don't think he's losing.
Well, if you don't lose, if he doesn't lose, what are you doing with John?
I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm always from the standpoint that John is not here
but he's here the rest of the year.
Yeah, you're right.
I like Cody. I think you're dead wrong about Cody.
I like him too. I just don't think he can lead the company.
I think he can lead the company. I think you're wrong, but I think John needs to win. Mm. And we can shut this stupid Ric Flair stuff up forever. He can be the 17-time champion or whatever number that they make up. Let him be the guy and keep it moving.
Changes all the time.
Matt George chimes in too, paraphrasing, keep fighting the good fight, Kenny. Cody Rhodes sucks.
No. Well, I didn't say that, Matt.
I'm paraphrasing as well. Matt didn't say
that. Is that what he just texted us?
Yeah, he texted me. He didn't say that, but.
Matt does hate Cody. Matt, Eddie, and Kenny, all of this team of guys who hate Cody Rhodes.
I don't hate Cody.
Cody is a traditional white meat babyface. Mm. That's what he is.
What?
Yeah. That's crazy. Throw a double on that one.
He's a baby face.
So what kind of baby face?
He's a white meat baby face.
You're done.
He's never done wrong.
You're done.
Cody is kind of, his promos are boring though.
Cody feels like a baby face in a different era.
Yeah.
It's a baby face in the 80s.
That's kind of what it feels like.
And to your point, because I do like Cody in all seriousness, I do want to see him. I think he's probably better as a heel.
I think he would be a phenomenal heel.
I think he'd do really well as a heel.
But, you know, you don't have to do the John Cena thing where you wait 10 years to do it, 50, or I guess in John Cena's case, damn, 20 years to do it. Like, but you also can't, like, you're stuck now because Cena was your big moment, your big turn. We talked about this with Bianca. You can't turn Bianca, like, at the same time you're turning John.
Right.
You're going to water this down a little bit. You've got to, like, Cody has to have a reason, and I always felt like the reason was Roman. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you chose to go in a different direction. You wanted to do the John Cena thing. That's fine. Roman, I don't think, is going anywhere. You still have money in a Roman babyface Cody heel match down the road, and I think that's the direction that they should have gone this year. But you don't want to turn Cody yet. I get it. There's still a place for that.
Can you turn Cody the next night? Kind of how they did with when they were.
I don't think
do
you can turn
Brock.
Cody now.
No, not at all.
No, because what's the point? You turn John. I don't think you can turn Cody now.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you just did the whole, hey, Rock, go F yourself.
Yeah. When he does stuff like that, it's like Casey's low-key right. Like, he's a little too cartoonish sometimes.
But it got a pop.
It did.
And The Rock hasn't been seen since.
That guy's really getting on my nerves.
He's probably at Coachella. Dwayne. Shout out to Travis, who just murdered it this weekend.
I got to see that. I heard about it, but I got to see it.
There, for as like off and on as Travis's music can be sometimes, he is a 10 out of 10 performer. He's one of the best in the game. And that's crossing genres. He's one of the absolute best. And what looked like a kind of subpar Coachella lineup was fire. And Mustard was a big reason why, too.
Mustard was fantastic. I seen a clip of everybody he brought out and what he did.
And he literally brought out everybody. It was like the pop-up all over again.
He did a fantastic job. But Travis, I saw it. This is on a much smaller scale. This was at a... I'm just going to say it was on a much smaller scale. I saw Travis, and before I was like, yeah, it's Travis Scott. Like, he's cool. It's cool, right? And then I saw his show, and I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it now. It might even been before Astroworld, or maybe Astroworld had just come out. So he didn't have, like, a whole library of hits at that time. But I was like, oh, yeah, I get it. There's just something about being at one of his shows. You feel the energy. Mm-hmm. And, I can imagine today on a Coachella stage, that's probably movie status.
I love YG. One of the saddest things in history was the Damn Tour. For those of us here at the Golden 1 Center, it was Kendrick and Travis for the first leg.
Uh-huh.
It was Kendrick in YG for the second leg. And the Golden 1 Center was the first stop of the second leg. Love YG, that's my man. But Travis is so high, like he is a different performer.
Yeah.
His performance doesn't even always match his music. But he killed it. He absolutely killed the Coachella stage this weekend, man. So
shout out to those guys, man.
T-Pain, Missy, Queen Latifah coming out with Meg.
Yeah.
Just and then what Mustard did, it's crazy.
Once again, I still don't think I'll ever get to Coachella.
I can tell you for certain I never will. Man. Unless you give me an exclusive platinum VIP treatment.
If I'm backstage, then cool. I don't even want to be in the front.
Nope.
I need to be backstage.
Yep. I want to watch from the side of the stage.
that's how I go to Coachella. Other than that, nah,
I cannot imagine.
Was younger, like, it looks like a lot of fun. Like, it looks like a great experience, but
I mean, Sean lives for them music festivals.
Yeah.
I don't think he went this weekend, but Sean like loves them music festivals. Sean Cunningham.
Fox, there's something specific about Coachella though. Like, I don't want to be in that dirt, bro. Like, I'll go to South by Southwest. Like, that looks like a good time, but I'm still in a city. I'm in Austin. Like, yeah, I'll go to Dreamville, where I'm in Raleigh, you know what I mean? Hell, I would have went to Soul Bloom. I was in Sacramento. But Coachella, I'm just in the desert. Like, I don't want to, yeah.
I don't think you got to worry about that. It's not going to give you tickets anyway.
Soul Bloom and Flipside up there looking down on us. As we wait for James, we got a minute. Zach LaVine spoke today.
See what Zach got to say.
Well, no. He spoke for a total of 4 minutes and 17 seconds. What was our number? You guys had outrageous numbers.
Yeah, you guys had Kenny allergy numbers for that situation.
Well, no, that Prize Picks has pulled that because you cooked the book.
Yeah, you lied.
You
lied.
I told you guys.
My allergies are so bad today, guys. No, I might sneeze a bunch.
The nose is stuffy.
Prize Picks has pulled this completely off. It's off the app, just like Zach LaVine is off the screen.